Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is March the 1st, and we are in Yeshayahu Perek Tes Vav, Chapter 15, which chapters 15 and 16 are going to be about Moab. Moab is going to have a similar fate as some of the other nations that we're going to discuss over here, which is that Sanherib will do a significant job of destroying much of Moab, and whatever remains from Moab is going to be destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. The two powers that are going to succeed each other in essentially ruling over the world. So Yeshayahu says, Masa Moav, this is a prophecy about Moav. Ki balel shudad ar Moav nidma. On the night that it was captured, that it was taken captive, Ar is one of the cities of Moav, or one of the provinces of Moav. Ar of Moav nidma was like it was sleeping. Ki balel shudad, on the night that it was taken captive, Kir Moav Nidma. Kir, which is another province in Moab, was sleeping. We have a lot of different places, cities, provinces of Moab, which this is not the first place they're mentioned. A lot of these places are mentioned in the Chumash itself, and here they're referenced. Allah Habayis V'Divon Habamos Lavechi. Moab went up to the house, and Divon, which is a place in Moab, went up to the high places for crying. They all cried. What did they cry over, the people of Moab? Al Nevo, Val Medva, Moab Yigay Lil. On Nevo and Medva, again, two different places of Moab, they cry out. Bechol Roshav Karcha, on all of its heads, there's baldness. They would pull the hair out of agony. And Kol Zakan Grua, and all of the beards are also pulled out. Because again, pulling out the hair out of pain. Bechutzosav chagrusak, in its streets of Moab, they wear sackcloth. Al gagoseha over chavoseha, kulo yilalil, on its roofs and in its streets, they all cry out. Yorei babechi, and they are shedding tears. Batizak cheshbon ve'elale, and cheshbon and elale, which are two places in Moab, they cry out. Ad Yahatz Nishma Kolam, all the way till Yahatz, their voice is heard. Al Kain Chalutzei Moav Yoriu, therefore, the soldiers of Moav will also cry out. Nafsho Yara Lo, its soul will cry out for it. No, all of Moav is crying out. So, discussing, again, many different places of Moav that are in pain over what's going to befall Moav. Yeshayahu surprisingly here says, Libi le Moav Yizak, my heart cries out for Moav. Biricheha ad Tsoar, Eglas Shlishia. Those who are running away, they go all the way to Tsoar, the third calf. The Gemara says that the third calf born is often the strongest, the most powerful of all of the calves that are born to a particular cow. And Tsoar is considered to be a stronghold place, and they would run all the way to Tsoar to protect themselves. Ki male haluchis bivchia lebo, because the rise of Luchis, which is was an area that was high up, they would go up there in crying. Ki derech choranim zakas shever yo'eru, and the way of choranim, which was a low place, they would cry about the broken state of their country. Ki mei Nimrim mishamos yu, because the waters of Nimrim will be destroyed. Rashi says that there'll be so much blood that will pour into that waterway, it will become impossible for that water to be used. Ki yavesh chatsir kala deshe, for the grazing land has been used up, nothing left, and it's dried out. Yerek lohaya, there's no vegetation. This is a mashal, this is a parable, because the land of Moab was very, very fertile. had a lot of grazing land. So the destruction of Moab is compared to a grazing land that is now desolate. Al-Kain Yisra'asa. All of this happened because of the extras that were done by Moab. We'll discuss what that means in a moment. Ufkudasam al-Nachal ha'aravim Yisa'um. And their land were their punishment. They will be taken to the way of the Aravim Yisum, they'll be taken, which means the whoever's left over is going to go all the way till Bavel. The enemy will take them all the way over there. Kikifa ha'za'aka eskvu Moav, the crying out has surrounded the boundaries of Moav, ad eglayim yilalasa, until eglayim, which is a place, is its wailing, uve'er elim yilalasa, and again, a place, where elim is its wailing. Kime dimon maludam, the waters of Dimon are full of blood. Ki ashis al Dimon no safos. What did that mean? That when I bring upon Dimon,
pour more
of. What's that?
Pour more of it. Is what mine said.
Pour upon Dimon its extras. Yeah, but what did that mean exactly? That meant, huh?
Addition.
Yeah, additions. No, I got that, but. Okay. Additional, more blood is going to pour into it. Lifletas Moav Aryeh, the remnant of Moav will go to the lion. The lion refers to Nebuchadnezzar. V'lisheiris Adama, and to the remnant of and to the remnant will go your land. Who's the remnant? The remnant of the Jews. That to your land will go, to the remnant will go to the Jews. Now we're going to pause here. We have several things going on at the same time over here. We have the next parak to do as well, which is going to be more about the destruction of Moab. But I want to pause and give us a little bit of context about Moab. And with that context, we'll be able to at least place some of what is being said over here. Let's discuss all that we know about Moab before Yeshayahu. What do we know about Moab? Now, Moab appears in the Chumash several times. So, first let's begin with its inception. Where does Moab come from? Who is Moab's ancestors? Who started Moab? So, Lot and his oldest daughter. The oldest remaining daughter. Their son was Moab. So let's go back to Lot before we discuss Moab himself and Moab's being born. So Lot we're introduced to at the end of Parashas Noach and the beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha, because Lot is with Avraham and Sarah. Lot is Sarah's brother. So Lot is Avraham's brother-in-law. He is Sarah's brother. However, Lot is also Avraham's nephew. Sarah is Avraham's niece. And so Lot is both his nephew and his brother-in-law. It's his brother's son and it's his wife's brother. Same thing. So Lot is both of those things. Avraham has Lot with him when he leaves Haran to go to Canaan. And Lot accompanies Avraham there. And Lot also goes with Avraham down to Mitzrayim when there's a famine in Parshas Lech Lecha. And Lot comes back with Avraham, a very wealthy man, just like Avraham is a wealthy man. In Mitzrayim, we have the incident where Lot is quiet and does not reveal that Sarah is in fact Avraham's wife. When both Avraham and Sarah say that Sarah is his sister, which protects Avraham from the Egyptians, Lot keeps his mouth shut, which is a zechus, that's a merit for Lot. And when they come back to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, Lot is a very wealthy man, just like Avraham is a very wealthy man. Their shepherds get into a fight, and they separate. And we know that Lot chooses to go to Sodom. Lot is in Sodom when the four kings come and attack and defeat the five kings, which includes Sodom, and take Lot captive. Avraham comes and fights a war with the four kings, That war, remember, was a war where Avram was fighting an army the size of Sanherib's army. The Gemara tells us that there's three times that armies of that size fought with the Jews. One is the time of Abraham, one is Sanherib going against Chizkiyo, and the third one is Gog and Magog in the time of Mashiach. So Abraham wages a war against those four kings, either with, it says in the Pasuk, with 318 men, so it's just him and 318 men. Some say that 318 men was just Eliezer, and they defeat the four kings and save Lot. Then Lot remains in Sodom, and then the angels come to Abraham and tell him that they're going to destroy, Hashem says to destroy Sodom, and then the angels go to Sodom and plead with Lot to leave in the merit of Avraham. He should be saved. And in the end, Lot, he doesn't want to leave, but in the end he does, and he is saved along with his two daughters. Everybody else is killed. His wife turns into a pillar of salt. And then you have the incident of Lot with his daughters, and Moab is born from that union. So that is the that's the where we find Lot in Parshios, Noach Lech Lecha, and Vayera. Then Lot disappears. We don't see or hear from him at all in the Chumash. But we do hear from Moab. Later on, the Jews leave Mitzrayim, and we go up to Eretz Yisrael, and now we have to enter Eretz Yisrael. And at the end of the 40 years, we attempt to go through the country of Edom. Edom says no, can't go through. So we have to go around Edom and we come to Moab. And Moab says you may not go through my land either. And we have to go around Moab. And then finally we cut through a narrow passageway that is not owned by Moab, nor by Ammon for that matter. And we, as we're passing through over there, the Moab people led by Balak hire Bilam to come and curse the Jewish people. Bilam attempts to curse us three times. They all turn into brachos, and in the end, we are protected. And then we have the war with Sichon and Og, and we take over all the land on the Aver Hayarden, on the east bank of the Jordan River, not the land of Moab and not the land of Ammon. A lot of the land that we are on used to be owned by Moab and by Ammon, but that land had been conquered by Sichon before we came. And we conquered it from Sichon. Then we go into Eretz Yisrael. We are in Eretz Yisrael for many hundreds of years. While we are there, we have incidents at times with Moab and with Ammon. And in each time, of course, we are protected by Hashem. Moab, of course, is where Rus comes from. And we have the whole story of Rus, which starts in Moab itself. And then, we have that same setup. We have Moab involved here with the Nevuah of Yeshaya. So that's our progression of Lot and Moab leading up to where we are here. There is one other incident, which we'll talk about in a moment, which Moab is involved in. Now, Moab really should have had Hakaras HaTov. They should have had gratitude to Avraham Avinu. Because on several occasions, Avraham was instrumental in the protection of and the growth of Lot. Lot did do one thing to protect Avraham, and that he did not speak up when he could have. And he could have mentioned that Sarah is Avraham's wife, not his sister, but he didn't. So for that he has merit. But Avraham had Lot's back on many occasions over the years. First of all, when they left Haran and went to Canaan, Avram took Lot with him. He didn't have to take Lot with him. He could have left Lot behind in Haran. But he took Lot with him with intention that Lot should grow and become a person who is involved with the people that Avraham and Sarah were going to now create. Then, when they come back from Egypt, Lot has a lot of money. That's in the merit of Avraham. Then, when their shepherds have a fight, Avraham offers Lot to go wherever he wants. And Avraham says, I'll go the opposite direction, but I'll stay near you in case you need me. And Lot chooses. And then Avraham is close by. And when Lot is taken captive by the four kings, Avraham comes to save him. And then later, when Sodom is being destroyed, Lot is saved in the merit of Avraham. That's why he's saved. So Moab should have had hakaras hatov, should have had gratitude for Avraham, and therefore, by extension, for the Jewish people. But instead, Moab is a constant enemy of the Jewish people. Moab does not want to let us go through their land. Moab hires Bilam to curse the Jewish people. And we say, therefore, Moabite men are not allowed to marry into the Jewish people ever. Even after 10 generations, they're not allowed to marry in. And the reason is because they did not give us bread and water when we left Mitzrayim. They should have responded with gratitude. And also they hired Bilam. And I'm sorry, I forgot one, isn't it? They also were involved in getting the Jewish men to sin after Bilam failed to curse us. So then he gave advice that Moab along with Midian should allow their girls to go entice the Jewish men and get them to worship Avodah Zarah, which they did. So Moab is constantly out to make trouble for us. In fact, the Pasuk says in Eicha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Tziva liYaakov Sevivav Tzarav, that even when we were taken into exile, Hashem commanded that around the Jewish people should be those who cause the Jews trouble. That even when we go into exile, we don't get to be in exile near people who are indifferent to us, but rather we are near people who, next to people, who specifically don't like us. Who are they? Ammon and Moab. They're the ones that Hashem puts us near Ammon and Moab, even when we are in Galus. Sevivav Tzarav, that around the Jewish people will be those who cause trouble to the Jewish people. Moab is a constant source of trouble, pain for the Jewish people. Where really, Moab should have hakaras hatov, should have gratitude. This is what is meant when the pasuk says, now I have to find the pasuk. This is what is meant when the pasuk says that the reason why Moab is being punished is in pasuk Zion verse 7, Al kein yisra asa, because of the extras that he did, because of the fact that he, instead of having hakaras hatov, instead of having gratitude, he tried to hurt us. Therefore, they are being punished for all that they've done. This accentuates Yeshayahu feeling pain for Moab. That even though in Pasuk Hey, even though Moab did all of this to us, Yeshayahu says, Libi leMoav Yizak, my heart cries out to Moab, for Moab, in all of the terrible pain that Moab is going through. Back in Pasuk Zion, Libi leMoav Yizak, my heart cries out for Moab. Bericha at Tsoar Eglash Shalishia. Those who are running away go to Tsoar, to the third calf. What is Tsoar? If you will recall, when Lot was saved from Sodom, that the angel said to Lot, Hahara himalet, run to the mountain, run to Avram Avinu. Lot did not want to go to Avram Avinu. Instead, where did Lot go? He went to Tsoar. Tsoar was the name of the city where Lot ran to instead of to Avram Avinu for protection. Here, the Yeshayahu says those running away from Moab's destruction would run all the way to Tsoar. They wouldn't help them. They'd be destroyed there too. But that is where they would run to, just like their great-great-great-grandfather ran to Tsoar for protection. So too they would run to Tsoar. The Medrash says that the Nevi'im, the prophets of the Jewish people, are not like the Nevi'i Umos HaOlam, are not like the prophets of the nations of the world. Bilam, all he does is he tries to hurt the Jewish people who did nothing to him, who did nothing to deserve his ire. Whereas Yeshayahu here is saying a prophecy about Moab, and Moab certainly deserves everything it's getting, and we suffered at the hands of Moab. Yet when Yeshayahu sees the terrible destruction and the pain and the suffering that's going to be meted out against Moab, he says, my heart goes out to them. That he sees the human suffering. Yeshayahu acknowledges that human suffering, that it's not a good thing that human beings have to suffer the way they're going to suffer. It's not that Yeshayahu is saying they don't deserve it, and this is the will of Hashem, but Yeshayahu still would rather see people be better people and not suffer instead of seeing people suffer. And he sees the suffering and it causes him to cry out, my heart goes out to Moab. Now, as I mentioned, there's one more incident that happens with Moab that we have not mentioned yet. So we're going to begin the next perek, Perek Tezayin, chapter 16, and we will get to the ultimate disloyalty of Moab, as we will see, and the midah kenegan midah, the measure for measure that will happen because of this. Pasuk Aleph, Shilchu Char Moshel Eretz Misela Midbara. Send a gift, the leaders of the land, literally means the rock to the Midbar, but it means from wherever you are, send a gift, El Har Bas Tzion, to the mountain of Tzion. That we just said in the previous Pasuk that the remnant of Moab will be given over to the lion, meaning destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, and to the remnant, meaning to the Jewish remnant, will go their land. Send a gift to the Jewish people. That they will be, they, Moab, will be like a bird that flies away, like a nest that has been sent away. Tiena b'nos Moab, ma'baros la'arnon. So will be the daughters of Moab from the passageways of Arnon, they'll have to run away. So they're going to run away because of what they've done wrong to the Jewish people, where they should be really sending a gift to the Jewish people. They should be really trying to make amends with the Jewish people. And therefore the Navi says, Havi Eitza Asu Falila, I'm sure exactly how to translate that.
Give counsel,
okay? And do justice. Shisi chalayel tzilech besoch tzarayim. Put yourself, like the nighttime, your, literally means your shadow, in the middle of the day. In the middle of the day, they are going to, their sun is going to set in the middle of the day. It's going to get dark in the middle of the day. This is figurative. And the Navi is saying, hide in that darkness. Satri nidachim, you should hide those who are themselves running away. When the Jews are running away from the Nebuchadnezzar later on, you should act as protectors for the Jewish people. Nodeid al tegali, don't give away those who are uprooted. Don't give them away, don't give them over. Don't be one who's going to turn around and give over the Jewish remnant to Nebuchadnezzar. Rather, you should be protecting the Jewish people. Yaguru vach nidachai. Those my mind that are being pushed away, meaning the Jewish people, they should be able to stay with you. They should be able to sojourn with you, stay with you and be protected. Having say salamo, mipnei shodeid, you should be a protection from them because of the conqueror. Ki afes hameitz kala shod, tamu romes min haaretz, because the, but it, really this is instead, that the, all of the food will be gone, all of the sustenance will be gone, anything that you could have had are going to be taken away, the animals will be gone, everything is going to be taken from you, because instead of acting as a protector for the Jewish people, Moab is going to instead aid and abet the enemy that is trying to hurt the Jews, and they will be giving over the Jewish remnant to the conquerors. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shaddai kol nivro. V'uchan b'chesed kisei. But what's going to happen is that this is referring to during the whole issue with Sanherev, that instead what's going to happen is that there'll be a throne that is prepared with chesed. This is referring to the throne of Chizkiyahu the king. V'yashav alav be'emes bo'el David. He will sit on it in truth in the tent of David. Shofet v'dorish mishpat, he will be a judge, and he will look for justice. Umihir tzedek, and he will have righteousness. All this is what's actually going to happen with the Jewish people. In other words, Moab, you picked the wrong side. They're going to support Sanherev, and trying to give over the Jewish people. But instead, what they really should have done was protected the Jewish people, acted upon the hakara satov, the midah, the gratitude they should have had, and instead what's going to happen is that Sanherib is going to end up being destroyed, and Chizkiyahu is going to end up becoming the main king of the land. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Shamanu Gaon Moav, Gei Ma'od, we've heard the arrogance of Moav, they're very arrogant. Gavaso Ugano Vevraso Lochin Badav, all of his arrogance, all of his anger, it doesn't, he has no right to it. Lachin yiye liel Moav lamoav kulo yiye liel. And therefore there'll be wailing in Moav, for all of Moav will wail. La shishe kir chareses tegu ach nechayim. For the foundations of the wall, it'll be broken, and another word for like completely broken down. The wall of Moav will be completely broken open. Kishadmos Cheshbon Umlol, for the fields of Cheshbon are desolate. Cheshbon is a city. Gefen Sivma, the vineyards of Sivma. Bale Goyim Homu Srukeha, again another place. Bale Goyim, it's from the word Sorek, it's superior vines will be taken away. Ad Yazer Nagu Tou Midbar, until Yazer, which is a place, they will be wayward, the people will be lost and wandering. Shiluchosa Nitshu Avru Yam, they will be uprooted and they will be thrown to the sea. Alkain Evke Bivchi, therefore I will cry. Bivchi Yazer Gefen Sivma, Yazer will cry over the vineyards of Sivma. This is not Yeshayahu crying, he's saying that the one city will cry over the other. Arayovech dimasi cheshbon ve'elalei. I will have many tears, cheshbon and elalei. Ki al kitzeich ve'al kitzireich heidad nafal. Because these are words that refer to the harvest and the drying out of the produce. All these things will be taken away by the enemy. V'nesav simcha v'agil min ha-karmel, and all types of joy will be taken away from the Carmel. Uva'kromim lo yirunan lo yiro'ah, there will not be any rejoicing at the vineyards. Yayin bayikavim lo yidroch, wine into the vats will not be pressed. Lo yidroch adorech, the presser will not press. Heidad hishbati, they'll be completely taken away. Now here, Yeshayahu is crying out again. Al kein mei la Moav, therefore my innards cry out for, because of Moav. Ka kinor yehemu, like a kinor they cry out. V'kirbi l'kir chares, and within me is like a kir chares. Chares refers to earthenware, and I don't remember how this goes. V'kirbi l'kir chares. I mean, I can translate the words, I just know how it fits. It means my insides are like the insides of earthenware, of pottery. But I'm not sure how that fits in with the context over here. Okay, I'm not sure. You see that these words, the whole thing is very, just very difficult to translate and to work through. Maybe we'll try to figure out a little bit later. V'haya chinira kinila Moav al Habama, and it will be when this happens, when Moav is worn out on the high areas, when they're trying to protect themselves. Uba el mikdasho liyispalel, they will come to their sanctified places to pray. V'lo yuchal, they will not be able to. They're going to even attempt to reach out to their own deities, but it won't work. Zeh hadavar shedibar Hashem el Moav me'az. This is the thing that Hashem spoke to Moav from us, from then, meaning from the time that Moav did all these bad things to the Jewish people. All of this was said is going to happen to Moav. Ve'atah, now, dibar Hashem lemor, Hashem spoke saying, bishlosh shanim kishnei sachir, in 3 years, like the years of hire, it'll take 3 years, and then v'nikla kavod Moav, the honor of Moav will be shamed, b'chol ha'hamon harav, and all the multitudes it has, ushar ma'at mizer lo chabir, and just a little tiny bit is, it won't even remain. Moav is going to be destroyed. So, what is this reference to 3 years? And what does that mean what is this thing that happened over here? This an incident that happened that is being specifically mentioned at the end of this parak. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sanhedrin, on Daf Sarivav Amabez, it's 96b, the Gemara says like this, Amunu Moav, Shivvi Bishi Yerushalayim Havu. Amun and Moav were bad neighbors to Yerushalayim. Amun and Moav, the countries are right near Israel, and they were bad neighbors. Kivin the Shaminu Linevie, the Kamis Nabi Lechorbana de Yerushalayim, once they heard that the Nevi'im were prophesying about the destruction of Yerushalayim, Shalchu Nebuchadnezzar, they sent for Nebuchadnezzar, and they said, Puk, Vita, come. Amar, he said, Mistafina, I'm afraid, Tululi Avduli, Kida Avdu Bekamai. They shouldn't do to me what they did to the previous people that came to the Shuri Yerushalayim, meaning to Sancheirev. Sancheirev was destroyed. Shalchule, they sent to him, Ki Eino Ish Beveso. The man is not in his house, meaning that it's a pasuk, meaning Hashem is no longer in the Beis HaMikdash. The Shekhinah has left. The Gemara says that refers to Hashem. Shalchu, Shalachlu, he sent to them, Bekriva hu va'asi. He's close by and he might come back. Shalchu, they sent him, Halach bederach me'rachok, he went far away. Shalachlu, he sent to them, Islu tzadiki debau rachami umaisule. But there are tzadikim in Yerushalayim who will daven and Hashem will come back because of them. Shalchule, they sent him, Sror hakesef lakach biyado. He took away the tzadikim. The tzadikim have all died. They're not there. There's no more tzadikim there either. Shalchule, he sent to them, Hadri ritshi b'tshuva. Maybe the evil people of the Jews will do tshuva, and then they'll daven, and Hashem will come back. Shalchule, they sent him, Kvar kavalahen zman, Hashem has already set a time for them, that if they don't do tshuva by then, they'll be destroyed, and that time has already come. Shalachle, we sent to them, Sisvahu, it's the winter, V'lomatsina da'asi, I can't come, it's the winter. V'kumitalga umimitra, from the snow and from the rain. I can't bring my whole army. Shalchule, they sent him, ta ashina de tura, come on the tops of the stones. The stones are free of, are easier to travel upon. You won't have the mud, you won't sink into the ground. Come on those. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, quoting the first pasuk of Perek Tezayin over here, the first pasuk of chapter 16, Shalchu kar moshal eretz misela midbara. Go along the sela. Go along the stones in the wilderness to come to the Jewish people. El harbas tzion. It's taking the pasuk that we said meant send a gift to Tzion. Here it's being used to mean they were telling Nebuchadnezzar to go on the stones in order to come to Tzion and destroy it. Shalachlu, we sent to them, Iasina, if I come, Lasli Duchta Diasivna Bay. I have no place to stay. Because it's the winter, there's no places to have shelter for my army. Shalchulei, they sent to them, Kivro Shalahem Ulin Mipalitin Shalcha. Their graves are better than your palaces. The graves of the Jews are better than your palaces. And then the pasuk says that they took the bones of the deceased out of the graves and threw them out in order to make places for the shelters for the army of Nebuchadnezzar. So the Nebuchadnezzar was really not confident to come and attack the Jewish people. And it was only because of Ammon and Moab that he eventually came and attacked and, of course, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But the truth is, that's not the first time that happened. This is the second time that happened. The first time it happened, that Ammon and Moab called for an enemy to come against the Jewish people was Sanherib. Exactly. That they called for Sanherib to come. Sanherib was also scared. He also didn't want to come to attack. He was afraid of what might happen to him and to his army. And he didn't want to, or he was afraid to. And it was because of the prodding of Ammon and Moab that eventually he came. And of course, we know what happened. And it was for 3 years that Ammon and Moab were working on getting Sanherib to come and attack the Jewish people. And Sanherib eventually did come. So Hashem says, you did that. It was for 3 years and it was for free. They weren't even being paid. They just wanted it to happen. They have such enmity towards the Jewish people. And therefore Hashem says that because of that, as the last pasuk we read says over here, that like 3 years, like the years of hire, that they weren't even hired and they were still doing this, that they were, therefore they would be punished in 3 years as well. The Gemara tells us, the Medrash tells us, that Ammon and Moab invited Sanherib to come. They wanted Sanherib to come and attack Eretz Yisrael. And Sanherib came with a massive army to attack Eretz Yisrael, as we know. And we have know the whole story with Chizkiyahu. When he came, the incorporated into his army were Ammon and Moab. Because they also, they're the ones who invited him. They're the ones who wanted to see him destroy Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara tells us that before he destroyed Eretz Yisrael, he turned on Ammon and Moab. He stabbed them in the back, and he subjugated Ammon and Moab. The soldiers of Ammon and Moab, he imprisoned some, he killed some, he tortured some, he turned around and attacked Ammon and Moab, which doesn't make any sense. Ammon and Moab were on his side. Ammon and Moab wanted him to be there. But he turned on Ammon and Moab. The Gemara doesn't say why he did it. But we know why it happened. We don't know what he was thinking. But we do know why it happened. Because Hashem was doing to Moab and to Ammon, Mida keneged Mida, measure for measure. Moab and Ammon should have had gratitude, Hakaras HaTov, to Avraham Avinu, to the Jewish people, and instead they turn around and stabbed us in the back. They had no gratitude, and instead everything was just, was all enmity and trying to hurt us. So what Hashem did is He took the very weapon, Sancheirev, that Ammon and Moab brought to attack the Jewish people, and had Sancheirev turn around and stab them in the back. And to have no sense of kinship with them, and instead attack them, subjugate them, and cause all kinds of pain and suffering to them. Mida keneged mida, for what they did to the Jewish people. They didn't learn the lesson, because that was in the time of Sancheirev. But later, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, whoever's left from Ammon and Moab, they do it all over again. And they convince Nebuchadnezzar, they give Nebuchadnezzar the confidence to come and attack the Jewish people. And then, as we said, in Golos, Hashem puts Ammon and Moab around the Jewish people. That's part of our punishment. You see that Moab, we're focusing on Moab, but Ammon is the case also, they are not superpowers. You don't find Ammon and Moab emerging as, you find that they do have power at some points, especially in Shoftim and various places, that they become strong, countries and they hurt us. But they're not world powers, Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab are the ones who trigger the world powers. They're the ones who bring the world powers to attack us. They're the conduit to bring the world powers against us. Those are Ammon and Moab. Just as they hired Bilam. That's what Moab does. Moab is not the world power himself. Moab tries to get the more powerful to do the work that Moab perceives they cannot do, which is to attack us. And they did it with Bilam. They did it with Sancheirev. They did it with Nebuchadnezzar. And they never learned their lesson. And the fact that it says in Eicha that in Golos we are next to or surrounded by Moab and Ammon, Tsarav, those who cause pain to us, we have to understand that it's not just they don't like us, but they're the ones who are going to call and beckon to those who really can cause a great deal of harm to come and cause a great deal of harm. The punishment of being in Galus is not only that we're not in Eretz Yisrael, it's that we're in a precarious place. We're never really safe. Sometimes we feel like we might be safe, but it's an illusion. We're not really safe. And we're always on the verge, on the edge of being in a very, very dangerous place. And it's not just that there are enemies out there. There are enemies right next door, and those enemies, even if they themselves are not powerful enough to hurt us, but they are very quick to bring in those who can. And that is part of the punishment of Galus. Part of the Hashem makes it that we should not feel comfortable in Galus is that we're never really that safe. And the Baruch Hashem, in recent years, in recent decades, the Jewish community has been safer than it had been before. But I don't think that any Jew walks around feeling completely safe. I don't think anybody walks around thinking the situation is definitely safe, secure, and there's nothing that could possibly happen. And when we forget that we are in Galus, then that feeling becomes stronger, the feeling of being vulnerable. And of late we see that people are feeling more and more vulnerable. And that is a function of Galus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to feel safe in Galus. He wants us to feel vulnerable because that's what Galus means. It is not to be in our own place, not to have our own protection, and to be vulnerable, because ultimately we're supposed to try to get out of galus, which is to bring Mashiach. And if we start feeling, chas v'shalom, we start feeling comfortable in galus, and we start feeling like, oh, it's okay, like, we can handle this, this is alright, you know, whatever, it's fine. If we start feeling that way, Hashem has to rock the boat a little bit. Hopefully only a little bit. And that's the feeling of being vulnerable, which Hashem brings about. Moab and Ammon are a big part of that feeling vulnerable. Because they're the ones who invite the really terrible people to hurt us. And that is their role. They will be punished for it. They are, the Yeshayahu says they'll be punished for it. They are punished for it. They're not, it doesn't justify what they're doing. But we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the show, and Mirashayim Yetzei Resha, from evil people, evil things come, and they are evil, and therefore they do what they do. But from our perspective, the response should not be, how do we build bigger walls, and how do we have greater security, even though we have to, of course, protect ourselves, hishtadlus, we have to put in our effort, but no amount of security can really protect us. The only one who can protect us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the response should also not be indignation and anger of how could someone say this about the Jewish people? How could there be such a double standard? How could it be that they can say these things in public and they don't get censored for it? Any other minority anybody says anything about, they immediately get censored, but they say things about Jews, that the reaction should not be indignation. The reaction should be, well, of course that happens. It always shocks me that people are surprised when that happens. Of course it happens, because that's the way the world works. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, because we're in Golus. And the reaction to these things should be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring us back to Eretz Yisrael with Mashiach, with the Beis HaMikdash, bring back your Shechina, take us home. That should be the reaction. It should turn us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not turn us to try to fight or try to take a moral high ground of, oh, look, we're trying to be so nice, and look what they're trying to do to us. We can put in effort to try to have a little bit of a better PR, but at the end of the day, it's not really going to help. And ultimately, the only thing that's going to help is going to be the Geula Shleima, is going to be when Mashiach comes. And the Ammon and Moab, they are a big, big part of this. We don't know who Ammon is and who Moab is today, but that type of person certainly exists. And they represent that type of person.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.